somehow I made it through.
Hey, welcome back to We're All Yankovic.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Today we're going to be talking about Like a Surgeon.
Like a Surgeon.
Do you hear something?
Who's 19?
Hello?
Hello?
No, hello? We're talking about Like a Surgeon.
Who is this?
Who is this?
Well, who are you?
Wait a minute. Are you?
We're all Yankovics. What are you?
We are Yankovics.
Oh, the Pigeon Stealers.
Oh,
them.
No.
It's them.
It's
weird.
The
alphabet.
This is weird.
No, we what go happened? By alphabet.
Did you hack into our account? Do we have an account?
Do we have an account? We don't have an account. We don't pay for anything.
What's
what are
going
you talking
on
about?
Here?
Well,
hello.
What's going on here? Like, what? This
we're talking
is our
about
show.
Like a Surgeon today.
We're talking about Like a Surgeon today.
That's our next song.
Yeah,
that's our next song. What is good? Okay,
wait,
who are you
what?
To come here on our turf? Where are our pigeons? First of all,
they were delicious.
Did you eat all of them?
Well, Charlie had some.
I had a couple. I have to admit,
they were small.
Jesus.
You know.
Do you have Andrew clone number 42?
We're looking for him, actually.
Was that the
was delicious
looking one?
Too.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just imagining being one of the listeners for We're All Yankovics and being like, what in the world? What kind of other podcast is this that talks about pigeons and clones? I thought this was supposed to be about Weird Al.
Well, the best way to find out is to listen to our entire catalog of the Weird Alphabet.
All right, well, fine. So you're here. We're both talking about the same song, I guess.
Yeah.
Not only are we talking about the same song, but one of the most important Weird Al songs. This is like one of those, like, for the history books, one of the best ones.
It really is. I'll have to agree with them, Charlie.
So we always like to start our show by going around and asking, what did you hear first? So let's start, Charlie. What did you hear first? Like a Surgeon or Like a Virgin?
Definitely Like a Virgin.
Steve, sorry, I'm so bad with names.
That's okay.
I knew I could remember one. Steve, what did you hear first? Like a Surgeon or Like a Virgin?
Like a Virgin.
Michael?
I think I heard Like a Surgeon first, yeah.
Aha, Dan?
My mom went through a Madonna phase.
Oh
my gosh!
And I definitely listened to Like a Virgin first.
Oh my gosh, Andrew.
One time, whenever I was little, they had this special class in high school. I didn't get any of it. Like a Virgin.
Wow.
I definitely heard Like a Surgeon first. This was one of those things, like, I was a kid learning about Weird Al, and I already heard the title of Like a Virgin. I was like, I don't think my mom would like me listening to this, so I'll just listen to the Weird Al.
I vividly remember, this is Steve, you know, remember my name. I vividly remember when that song came out, I went to my mom and said, Mommy, what's a virgin? And the look of uncomfortableness on her face made me know it was something I probably shouldn't know at that age. Someone pure and clean. I'm like, okay. I didn't understand the song at all.
Yeah. So what I imagine is to why a lot of our generation are fans of Weird Al is because our parents didn't want to explain to us what a virgin was just yet or explain the meaning of that song, especially if they watch Reservoir Dogs. And they're like, yeah, we don't want to explain that to our children just yet. So listen to this song. I could better explain what a surgeon does rather than what a virgin is.
Yes, the child I just let watch Reservoir Dogs should not know what a virgin is.
I want you to grow up to be a surgeon, not a virgin.
But also to tip waitresses.
Always.
Lots of great life lessons from Reservoir Dogs.
For real.
Man, this song, this is going to be really hard. I know this is a weird song, you guys. There's so much to unpack here.
Yep.
First of all, okay, I think we should probably talk about how this is the only time where Weird Al actually used somebody else's parody idea.
Yeah, the story is legendary. Apparently, Madonna was walking down the street and she told a mutual acquaintance that is never named. I looked
for
it.
Lauper.
It's Cyndi Lauper.
Probably.
I saw Jay Levy.
What? No. Jay Levy knows the acquaintance. So there's a middleman that nobody has ever actually said. Yeah.
It's a friend of Jay Levy. It's not. It's not Jay Levy himself.
It got to Jay Levy.
Yeah. And then Jay Levy gave it to Weird Al, and the concept is Madonna was like, this song is doing really well. I wonder when Weird Al's going to do Like a Surgeon. And Weird Al heard it, and Weird Al was like,
that's not a bad idea.
That seems like a good idea. Although, there's an alternate version of this story.
What?
Apparently, a kid named Ted Mosby sent in a letter to Weird Al. Yeah, if you watch, Steve's looking at me like I'm crazy.
Yep.
How I Met Your Mother did a great episode, and Weird Al guest starred, and in that, Ted talks about how in the past he sent a letter to Weird Al, and I felt like the best thing about that is not only does he suggest Like a Surgeon and Weird Al gets excited and runs off and talks about it, but it opens up saying February 21st, 1988, and that's when he actually started recording, 1985,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, I was saying, wrong year.
But that's actually the date that is when he started recording the parodies. He didn't actually record Like a Surgeon until the next day. But that's that kind of detail to me was amazing. Like, I'm like, oh, I know that date. Why do I know that date? And I look back at the Wikipedia and I'm like, that's amazing. That's awesome. That's good.
Good research.
See, yeah. That's funny because I remember when I first saw that episode, my first thought was, why are they rewriting a great story from Weird Al mythology? Yeah. Come on, guys. Can't you have named literally any other song instead of Like a Surgeon?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's the one that they have the story for.
Yeah. Do Yoda something, or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Girls Just Want to Have Lunch, because that one kind of sucks, so that we can blame it on Ted.
Yeah.
Although I think it's funny that she would suggest doing Like a Surgeon, because I feel like whenever an artist talks about Weird Al doing a parody of their music, it's always food. Like, other artists just assume that Weird Al's parodies of them are always going to be something food related.
Yeah.
And it's like Madonna actually, you know, thought of Weird Al as somebody who's more than just the food album guy.
Well, she has an accent. Maybe she said sturgeon.
Could be.
First off, that accent is fake. She is from
Which accent was
Michigan.
It? The New Yorkish she one is, or the British one?
She is not from England. She adapted that accent later on.
Yeah.
How? Why? No one knows. It's still a mystery to this day.
Well, there is an example on that we talked about when we did Inactive is the guys behind Radioactive. Actually, after Weird Al talked to him about this song, they
what
wanted
Damons.
Yeah, they wanted to go, oh, we're going to release Demons. You should do a parody about Matt Damon called Damons.
Yes. Yeah. He's like,
that was amazing.
I would have loved that, actually.
Yeah, that would have been great.
But apparently Imagine Dragons, not as clever as Madonna.
No, apparently not.
Not at all.
I think he was pressured, though, because there was who was the producer behind it? He did Rick Derringer was the executive producer behind it. It was the same guy who was behind Eat It, and it was behind Fat as well. And both of those songs became really big. So for him to push this and be like, this is a really big song right now. Madonna's really big right now. This is around the time that Madonna did the Truth or Dare documentary where the camera crew is following her around for her. Let's see. It was one of her tours. I'm trying to find which one it was.
Hey, quick edit. We just wanted to jump in here. The timeline got a little confused there.
A little bit.
The Truth or Dare video came out in 91.
Yes.
And Like a Virgin was off of Madonna's second album called Like a Virgin. And it came out in 1984. So it's sort of credited the song Like a Virgin is sort of her big success.
Yes.
And then when she did the Truth or Dare album,
she re-released it as like a slower, more sensual version.
Yeah, with the sound effects. And we talk about that in a little bit. And that's when Weird Al took his performance and changed it to that to update it. Thank you, and continue listening to this awesome episode.
So, okay, forgive us for being youngins. We're all kids of the 90s. Madonna being a pop... Madonna's always one of those figures that always seems like a parody. Like, I don't know. She just doesn't seem like she was ever actually legitimately popular. Or
she was, though. I don't, in retrospect, I don't understand it either, but she just was huge in the 80s. I don't know why.
Or more like Michael Jackson level almost. Weird synth beat in this song, was that supposed to actually be considered something that was sexy? Because it just sounds like.
No, that was part of the 80s. That was the sound of the 80s.
Yeah. That was, and I think this song was one of the early digital recordings, too. They actually recorded this digitally. So I think I think all the synth in this was very much sort of like, oh, look at the stuff we can do this year. Like it just came out kind of thing. I think it has less to do with Madonna herself. I mean, and like you probably know, Madonna doesn't even like write this song. This song is actually written by Billy Steinberg and Tom Kelly, who are a writing group that was actually behind So Emotional and I Touch Myself and True Colors. And then after Tom left, Billy actually has written for Cosgrove and Demi Lovato more recently. So this is all about them. And in fact, the story is that, you know, Billy came up with this song by himself. And then wrote it and demoed it, and the two of them demoed it, and then they gave it to Madonna, and Madonna heard it and was like, "Oh, that's perfect for me. That's gonna be, that's a song I should do."
Probably sound really different with a guy singing it.
It does, and that's why it's weird. Like it feels really strange.
Same
just because
I touch myself, you don't want to hear.
No, no.
She's like, we need to get a girl to sing these songs.
Oh, yes.
Why
please.
Do you keep writing these, man? I don't know.
Why do we keep writing? Yes. Yeah.
So, part of. The reason why Madonna was so popular at that time in the 80s, the way that I look at her and best relate to her, especially for where we are right now, is like when Lady Gaga first started. Like she was really pushing the boundaries. She was grabbing a lot of attention. Even her senior thesis in college was all about fame, and she references Madonna and how she came to fame as well. And with Madonna, her mentality behind all of this was, I just want to be famous. I want to be the name that everyone knows. And that is still the case to this day. People still know who Madonna is. And she's always been the person who pushed that envelope in pop music. So for her to take on the song Like a Virgin, she was very sexually explicit. She was always there pushing the boundaries. She was always trying to change what seemed normal in music. And that's really what grabbed everyone's attention.
Well, she grabbed more than attention.
Yeah, so like
Whoa.
Even
I'm just saying.
Like
you've
even
seen that book, huh?
Even when she had like that that belt buckle that said like boy toy on there, it was like, yeah, that really made everyone think, and everyone's like all the children who are watching this, the parents are just like, oh no, you can't do this. And whenever you try to like hide that content away from younger audiences, they're going to try and grasp at it. If anyone remembers the television show Married with Children, there was a scene that takes place in a sex shop, and because of the scene, there was a woman who actually lashed out against this. She tried creating a boycott for Married with Children, and because she wrote an article, she tried a boycott on the show, it became vastly more popular. Even my dad told me, it was like, I never watched Married with Children, but as soon as that boycott came out, as soon as that controversy came out, that's when he started watching the show, and that's when it got really popular, was because of that scandal.
Yeah. Yeah. And Lady Gaga is actually the perfect example, because I feel like Lady Gaga has emulated Madonna in the sense that Madonna starts out with shock value, but then she builds herself and she changes herself every 5 years to adapt to whatever is popular at that time. And that's why you guys know who Madonna is still. She hasn't fallen off the side. And I think I very much think that Lady Gaga has now entered her second, maybe even third version of Lady McDonald.
She's at her third
of Lady
season
Gaga.
Of Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga season 3.
Exactly. She's going the same path, you know.
Yeah.
For real. So speaking of the Truth or Dare tour and video,
are we going to talk about the music video?
Well, before we get into the music video itself, I want to talk about Weird Al performing this in concert.
Okay.
So, as Dan mentioned, the Dare to
Blonde Ambition Tour.
Yes, the Blonde Ambition Tour.
The name of the documentary is Dare or Truth or Dare.
Yeah, Truth or Dare. So at the end of Truth or Dare, like near the or at least right before she performs the song, she's stopped by like her band manager or like the whomever and is like, hey, you can't go out there, you can't like start, you know, touching yourself. Like if you do so, you're gonna get like
arrested.
You're gonna get arrested. And she's like, okay, well, what can we do? What, you know, trying to figure it out. And ultimately when Madonna performs this song, she's on like a large bed, like a velvety red bed, and is pretty much being very like commencing with the foreplay essentially with herself. And
Commencing with the foreplay.
Oh yes.
Ooh.
I remember that video very well.
Yes. But you know, but for real, it's and so then with when Al performs it in concert, he has a large red couch or bed, really. It's more or less it's supposed to be like an operating table, but like covered with a red fabric.
Yep.
And he pretty much does a very exaggerated, over the top, like what I would only deem to call a
explicit.
Well, no, not explicit, not explicit, but like an interpretive sexual dance of weirdness.
Yes, and he did the new slowed down version that she did during that tour. She slowed down like a virgin, and he does his like a surgeon slowed down sometimes in concert.
Yeah, and it's got sort of that like Indian or like Persian kind of music background,
kind of almost to emulate like a belly dance of sorts, really.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the version he plays in or he performs in concert is that specifically, because honestly it's probably also for easy.
That's got to be like one of the best parts about Weird Al is like he makes his concert be a parody of somebody else's like he just has got to parody every aspect, not just the lyrics of a song, but every way they perform something, because that's okay, I want to transition into talking about the music video, because there's much to talk about in that music video. I had seen the Like a Surgeon video numerous times. I was watching it again today, and I hadn't seen it in a long time. And of course, that lion shows up. I'm like, okay, there's got to be a story here. Weird Al doesn't throw in random elements like this without it referencing something else. So I bet there's got to be a lion wandering around in the Like a Virgin music video.
And lo and
behold.
So
then, yeah, watch the Like a Virgin music video for the first time today. Yes, there's a lion wandering around. Wait, is she, like, flirting with the lion? Okay, here's a dude. The lion's going to go away. Oh, God, the guy has a lion face.
Yeah.
She is literally trying to sleep with a lion. It was a weird journey today to go on.
I like the fact that you hadn't seen that before.
And it was so, like, the guy, because they have the lion wandering around, and it was, like, being all sexual Lion King, and then sexual the dude, they show the dude's face, and he has a freaking lion mask. Oh, it was so weird.
Oh, eyes wide shut, kind of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did you see the version of the video where the lion's tongue pulses to the beat of the music?
Oh, yeah. Gosh. Oh, what in the world?
It just made you so very uncomfortable. Like, it's like the end of the new version of Beauty and the Beast, where Emma Watson is she's looking at when the Beast turns into a human, and she's like, "You should grow out a beard again." And then he growls like the Beast. Still, like, why was that a thing that you needed to put in the end of the movie? It just made you so weird and uncomfortable and be like, is she into the Beast part
now? It's because furry culture has always been around, just no one wants to talk about it.
My friends back when I was a kid used to talk about Beauty and the Beast, my female friends, and they were always really disappointed that when the Beast turned into a man, he was like, they found the Beast much cuter than the man he turns into in the animated version.
Well, the man looks like a weird hybrid of, like, Nicolas Cage and, like, I don't even know, like...
Someone else.
Someone a little bit more handsome, maybe. Like,
who's that guy from Sweeney Todd? Hold your tongue.
Nicolas Cage is a beautiful man.
Yeah.
Oh, I know that. Yeah. I'm not discrediting that.
So it's like Nicolas Cage now versus like Con Air Nicolas Cage, and you put them together.
Yeah.
Ooh. If Nicolas Cage had a kid with Nicolas Cage.
It would look like middle-aged Nicolas Cage.
with Snake Eyes, Nicolas Cage.
Oh,
oh God.
Oh, man.
And then Travolta was there just for good measure.
And then they swapped faces with each other. Man, we got ourselves a great movie here.
It's a great movie.
Oh, no. Then they swapped faces with a lion.
Oh. Make out Madonna.
I want to swap faces with a lion.
Take the lion's face off.
Oh, God. I want to see John Travolta do that, like, that face waterfall thing the lion and then just get his hand bitten off. Speaking of the lions, Weird Al actually talks about them, and he says that they had lots of lions in a real hospital, and by the end of the shoot, there were several extras that were like, this missing? Wasn't worth the $50 I get.
Oh. They're picking up lion poop?
No, but because mauled? They were just roaming. Oh. They were like, you can keep the $50, I'm leaving.
I'm not hanging out with a lion.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you kidding me? I thought hanging out with lions in a hospital would be the payment.
That'd be awesome.
Like, think about 20 years later, you're going to tell your kids, yeah, I hung out in a hospital with Weird Al and lions.
And also
that's a story.
If you get attacked by a lion, where's the one place you want to be?
That's true.
A hospital.
A hospital. Exactly. You're in the perfect place.
Yeah, yeah. Weird Al's hospital is the place you want to be.
Yes, because he's got crayons and a drill. It's all the stuff that was on the table, an accordion, a little kid on a bike. He's got everything he needs to fix you.
Let's talk about the video some more.
Yeah, I want to say one part of the video that I loved was, and David also, I feel, loves this, is when they're like, getting the tweezers and they're like slowly pulling out the money out of the wallet.
Oh,
that's awesome.
This has got to be one of the most, man. Like, this has got to be one of the most, like, laid in jokes per minute, like, music videos.
Well,
there's so much great physical comedy.
Well, I think, with that part specifically, whenever we talk about early Al is a cynic.
Yeah,
like
yes.
Early Al is absolutely just like against like the man and kind of always pokes fun at like being ripped off and like Happy Birthday alone.
Yeah.
You know, like that song is
it's made to make you sad.
Exactly. With all of that joke joke is perfect.
My patients die before
and
they can
showcases
pay.
That humor.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, no,
he's
it's
like we're just taking their
the
money.
Political. He actually is getting a little bit like political for a second. Yeah.
Yeah, malpractice. I don't think surgeons really like this song. I don't think there's any surgeons out there like jamming to it on the way to work.
Well, I don't think so either. Talking about, you know, trying to avoid a malpractice lawsuit.
Yeah,
like,
right. Okay. Yeah. Last in his class.
Yep, yep, yep.
Just
anyways.
And I guess in that case, like, is that just also a comment on how much do they truly teach these surgeons to get them qualified? Like what is their qualification?
See, this is what I was thinking about. Like we're talking to We're All Yankovics already, but like we have a mutual friend, Jean-Claude Guidi from one of the other podcasts on our website, who's currently going to medical school. And I really want to get his inside perspective on, the true world of the
medical practice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I cannot. I know when I was a kid and I got to that point where I'm like, you know, I do a job and every once in a while I'll screw something up just a little bit. But like a doctor really can't do that ever or else it's really, really bad. And then you start to go, wow, I can't believe we actually even have doctors because nobody would.
Everyone makes mistakes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh,
It's even apparent in the song itself where he says all my patients die before they can pay as well.
Yeah.
Is super dark when you think about it.
But he does also say he's the disgrace of the AMA. So, but, you know, I guess it's because they didn't pay. Yeah.
And yet somehow he still has a medical practice.
It's amazing.
How has he managed to keep, like, being a surgeon without being completely, like, run out?
You can't
see
what
he says. He is a surgeon. He says he's like a surgeon.
There you go.
That's his loophole. Like, I never said I was a surgeon.
He's just like
a
surgeon.
Clothes. I look like a surgeon.
Yep.
So are we saying that, like, the reality of this song is actually, like, a kid playing Operation and just everything is existing in his head and he's somehow imagining himself as just this awful surgeon?
You guys are missing the entirety of the lyric in comparison with, like, a virgin, which is, he says, like a surgeon cutting for the very first time, which implies that even though he's been working as a doctor for an extremely long time, he still has no idea what he's doing.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Also, one of the first lines is sign this waiver.
Yeah.
No, no, that's, yeah, all good stuff. And maybe it is the kid dreaming because there's an operation board in the background.
You pull out bunnies from the stomach and, yeah.
I like when he pulls out the bunny and they all clap.
Yeah. Yep.
Like,
yeah.
So, you mentioned the operation board. I want to go through at least a few of the things in the music video that if you do watch it on your own, there's a few things that you should catch.
There's good references.
Yeah, like right off the bat, right in the beginning, the PA announcement that's going on and says, Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard. That's actually a nod to a Three Stooges short called Men in Black, in which the Three Stooges are working in a basically a medical school, in a way, so like a school hospital, and they just became surgeons themselves. Yeah, weirdly enough, they just became surgeons. And then it's their journey as well. So
I knew it was a Three Stooges reference. I didn't know it was specific.
Yeah, yeah,
that.
It's
a, cool.
It's connected.
I didn't know that. Yeah,
it's like the last season of Scrubs.
Is it?
That wasn't on NBC.
CBS or whatever.
Yeah.
ABC, whatever it went to. No one cares.
Yeah, we don't speak of that season.
No.
Yeah, lots of good Weird Al self references in this one too. They have one of the patients is reading the Midnight Star.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nice. And then at one point they turn on the one machine and it goes to George of the Jungle, which is also from this album.
Yep.
And then the best one is this is potentially the beginning of the 27.
Is it the first?
It's this this is the life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Patient number 27.
And this is the one that people asked Weird Al. He's like, what's 27? And Weird Al's like, I guess it's just a funny number. But then it became a thing. And this is one of the first two videos that has it in it.
I didn't realize this was one of the earliest. Because that, of course, jumped out at me right away. It's like, oh, the number 27. But I didn't... He didn't use, like, even in a song lyric before this?
I don't think he did. Or it wasn't, like, specific. Like, it wasn't... Like, I don't even think the 27 is the sort of thing that, like, fans pushed on him and then he sort of took and ran with.
Well, he said, I heard him say it's just an easy word to rhyme. It's a large number that has the right amount of syllables to make a good rhyme in a song.
Oh, interesting.
And he just kind of goes to it. When he wants to have a relatively large number, he says 27 times and it just became a thing he realized he was doing. Then he started doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
This is one of those questions of, like, the first example of 27 that, like, I wish there was, you know, of the different Weird Al podcasts covering all of his songs in different orders. I'm really surprised nobody's tried to just, you know, do it chronologically.
Well, chronologically, I don't know. I know, at least personally for us, chronologically is the boringest way to cover the songs because you don't, it's so... The same sort of, not completely, but like you don't get the bounce up and down as much as you do.
Yeah, back and forth between albums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
See his progress.
Yeah. And I mean, and your guys is going in like length of time is actually really clever too.
Yeah. No, we knew we needed to make something. And this way it was fun because it was just random enough that you can't predict what the next episode is, really.
Have we actually ever said that?
Nope, we've never said that.
Are we going to bleep that
out? Nope, we're going to give it out. They figured us out.
Dang it.
Another part, near the end of the video, it changes up a little bit. We get that weird cut where it sort of turns into like two different screens kind of thing. And that's sort of from Madonna's Burning Up video. And then the whole dance with the three of them at the end is very much from Lucky Star.
Yeah. That dance is amazing.
Okay, I was looking for that in the Lucky Virgin video, and I was like, where's the dancing come from? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's sort of like Devo's video where they're like, we did this one Devo song, but it's all the parodies of all these different videos. And so Weird Al does the same thing with Madonna. He pulls from a couple of other videos that she's done previous to that to try to like give a little bit more interest to this in the same way that Thriller, there's the Thriller eyes at the end of
Eat It,
and you're like, that's not part of Beat It,
which supports my theory that all of these songs and music videos are all within the same Weird Al universe or multiverse, depending.
I'm looking forward to the book.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. But that's the thing. Like, even, I guess, real quick, I've already mentioned it on the podcast in the past, but Like a Surgeon actually ties in, or at least I would hope that it ties in to Why Does This Always Happen to Me? Because, Why Always Happen to Me. Everything You Know Is Wrong.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where okay. Because, like, how on earth did he get a paper cut and then just die?
Like, was the surgeon from Like a Surgeon?
Yes, because the surgeon was just like, I can fix that. And then just
gets handed a scalpel and his finger gets cut off.
Yep.
Okay, I like it. I like it.
That scene.
Yeah. So that's what I'm thinking.
That's your connection to the universe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's more later on down the road, but that one's pretty much the big one. But also, what about your guys' favorite lyrics?
Oh yeah, yeah. You guys have that segment, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, real quick, actually, about Weird Al and injuries.
Oh, okay.
On April 26th, 2000, he was doing this song, and the stethoscope flew up in his eye and cut his eye a little bit.
Ooh.
It didn't cut his cornea, but he got an injury performing this song.
That's funny.
And I just thought that was a fun little bit of trivia.
Did that lead to his LASIK? Like, that's need glasses cool. anymore?
So, yeah,
I was thinking about the connection to Everything You Know Is Wrong is maybe he went to medical school, but everything he knew was wrong, so he's a really bad surgeon. Huh?
Honestly,
there you go.
At this point, I feel like even my theory is wrong. Because everything we know
that's,
is wrong.
That's how it all connects. It's all wrong.
Doesn't that make your theory that much more right if it is wrong?
Oh.
Hey, you know.
You blew my mind, man.
That's just wait for the book. Just wait for the book.
Yes, wait for the book.
When just on that whole concert story of cutting his eye, like when he, I assume he had to get rushed to some hospital room. Did they... I just want to be the doctor who is like, this is the greatest day of my life. I'm going to sing this song while fixing up Al's eye, geez. And it's going to be the greatest piece of irony.
Did he stop
ever.
The concert? No.
Unless he's one of those surgeons who doesn't like the song.
Uh-oh.
And so he, like, gets revenge.
And he injured his pancreas.
Yeah.
Aha.
I'm sorry, Al, but we're actually going to have to take your eye completely out. Are you sure it was just a little cut? No. This is, trust me, I'm a surgeon. Completely I know they know what I'm doing.
Well, I'm not a surgeon, but I'm like a surgeon.
Yeah, I thought that was real
funny. You're so funny, aren't you?
I think whenever I think of this song, I don't know, I always think of The Simpsons and Dr. Nick.
You know? Hello, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
Yeah, like, just like, oh, we got to take it out. Like,
see, the pop know. Culture thing I always think of listening to this song is the game Surgeon Simulator. I don't know if you've ever seen that game before.
My God, yes.
In Operation.
It's basically Operation in VR.
It's
but
the
like,
weirdest
oh,
thing.
Yeah, it's really bad.
It's go do yourself a favor and go find somebody filming a video of them playing Surgeon Simulator. It's very entertaining.
Cool. Well, let's let's move on to favorite lyrics.
Yeah,
Steve, you got a favorite lyric?
I do have a favorite lyric. I think I'm going with the very first one. I finally made it through med school. Somehow I made it through. I just like that. It's a good. It kind of goes very well with her first lyric, and it sets up the song very well about his incompetence. I don't know. That's always my favorite.
I like the one that ends with a malpractice suit.
Okay.
A malpractice suit, like a surgeon. Yeah.
Trying to avoid.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I like it. It's fun. It's cool. Do you guys have a favorite lyric?
Well, I mean, for me, I'm kind of cheating here, but like, for me, I like the part where it's just the beginning and the end, because it's so brilliant in the fact that he was using like the beeps from the
the heart monitor
EKG.
Yeah, exactly. He's using those beeps, and then it flatlines at the end, like just ending the song. It's
well, like going off of that, I think my favorite lyric has to be that last lyric of the "I can hear your heartbeat" for the very last time.
Yeah, there
that's
you go.
That's
lyric.
Such a great like using the original song and being really dark and morbid. It's great. It's great stuff.
Yeah, I definitely liked that. Like, I didn't like this song a whole bunch originally, and I don't know why. And I always felt like it was a little weird, but re-listening to all this stuff, he does it so well that you're like, why did I not like this song?
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Wrong,
yeah. Jeez. So, and that's a perfect example. Like both the electronic noises working into the weird electronic 80s sound stuff, yeah, and that last line. You're like, how did he not, like, of course you write this song. This is brilliant.
He,
like,
didn't need Madonna's help.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Two more favorite lines, right?
Maybe.
Yeah, we got two more people over there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Andrew, what's yours?
I just like whenever he's listening through with my forceps and with my, like, where
retractors.
You just listen. Yeah, retractors.
My forceps.
It's just a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
Dan.
I don't know if I have a favorite line per se, but I did enjoy the part in the music video where he's taking the money out of the wallet.
Yeah.
With surgical tools, and I think that's a, mm-hmm, like, it's still relevant today with our medical, yeah, institute and how that all works. So I found that
great line.
That hit a little harder than anything else in the, yes, in the song.
You know, I just going off of what you said that, but also what Charlie was just saying there about, like, how he didn't like this song as much at first. Like, I kind of feel the same way. Like, at first it was like, oh, it's just the term that I like to use all the time, basic word replacement. Like, he's just replacing words with something more medical. But, I don't know, listening to it more, it really does sound like it's also trying to be, like, I don't know, parodying the idea of the medical institution and, like, poking fun at the flaws of medical practice. And, like, from that aspect, it's a nice, not just a satire of Madonna, but also, like, a satire of anyways.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's exactly what it is. Like, especially listening into it as a little bit an older person, you know, when you're a kid, you're like, okay, it's about doctors. Wow. Okay. But then as an adult, you're sort of like, wow, no, this is actually well thought out and, like, yeah, well done.
All the jokes in this video too are just
the video makes it that much better.
Full of gag. I like that they're washing their hands and then washing their feet and washing pots and pans. All that stupid stuff you see in doctor dramas. I love all the stupid jokes like that.
And the way that shot is set up is so great because you don't see the pots and pans.
Yeah.
Until the John guy moves. With his feet moves away. Yeah,
John Bermuda Schwartz, who's going to call me someday.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
He's washing his feet.
Yeah, so, but it's amazing because at first you see the hands and then you see the feet and you're like, haha. And I've tried. I went back and watched, knowing pots and pans were in the background. But because the foot is in just the right place, you can't see it. It's
brilliant.
Amazing.
Awesome. Really good.
Do we know who directed this music video? Was it Weird Al directing?
I don't think so.
I think it's too early for that.
Well, no, is this after Christmas at Ground Zero? No, yes, it was before. Yeah. Never mind. That's Polka Party. Yeah, that was his first directing video. So this is before. He did not direct this one.
Okay. Well, I mean, and you also mentioned that you mentioned John Bermuda, but also Steve J was there as one of the nurses.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know if Jim's in this video. I couldn't catch it. Maybe he's one of the guys with the face mask on.
Maybe. I mean, half of the time the nurses had like you know the masks on and stuff like that.
Yeah. One of the guys could have been Jim, but I couldn't tell.
Well, because, I mean, like, the more and more I've been watching it, like, yeah, I see John Bermuda a lot, but I see Steve J a lot more. Like, I feel like...
He's very recognizable.
Yeah, I feel like he... there must be something that... with him being like, I want to be in every video. Like, I wonder if that's, like, a thing for him. But anyways.
Hey. Hey, guys. The rest of you guys over there. Hey, Alphabet guys. You know what? We want you guys all to have your say in how good this song is.
No, I'm the only person
we're gonna
allowed
like
to
you
have
all
no,
have
let's
a vote.
Hear them out.
Join
we
us.
Have that power.
You can be free now. You all have a say.
We're free.
We're gonna
free.
Rate this from 1 to 5.
I'm
scalpels.
Out of here, you guys. I'm out.
Wait, are they? Oh, did I scare them away?
Now it's only 3.
He didn't mean actually free. Yeah, Michael just went home.
Oh. We lost Michael?
Do you guys mind editing this for us?
Oh, man. Okay. I think I messed up. I was trying to be nice.
I left my Red Bull here. I left my Red Bull.
Oh, good. Also, he's back.
Yay. Quick, get a number from him.
I need a number. 1 to 5 scalpels.
Oh, 1 to 5 scalpels? Okay, sure. You know what? Honestly, I'm going to give this 4 scalpels.
4? Okay. Who's
Andrew
next?
Gives it, I'm going to say 1.14 scalpel.
What? We only do 5s and zeros.
It's pie. At least that's fun.
But pie.
It's pie.
Oh, I see. I was just writing. I wasn't listening.
It's okay. We never
I'm
round
to that
Andrew.
Up to 3.5.
You guys learned so quickly.
Who's next?
All right. This is Daniel. I'm giving it 4 gurneys.
Are gurneys worth more than scalpels?
They're equal. They're equal.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
And I'm going to give this song 19 scalpels out of 100.
What do you...
That's right. This is my 100th ranking.
Yes, I know it is your 100th ranking.
How do I even average that? I think it averages out to a 2.5.
No, we'll figure that out.
No, actually, like I think I would give this song... you guys don't do 0.2. Like, I want to do 4.25. I'll do 4.5. 4.5 out of 5.
Wow, that's really...
That's 4.5. All right.
It's a great song, you guys. Maybe it's probably the music video is what elevates it that much more. If we didn't have that music video, I probably wouldn't love it as much.
The,
but that music
lion,
video gives it so many points.
The lion puts it up by 0.5.
Yeah.
So what about you two, though? It's your show.
All right. Yeah. I'm going 4. I'm going to agree with Michael. Yeah. Yeah, I liked it. You know, I like it, and I've grown to like it more than I thought I did originally.
Yeah.
And the music video really comes through. Actually, you know what? 4.5.
Oh, you're going for 4.5.
Now that I talk about it for a second, I know, right? I'm like, you know, I said really nice things about it.
You did. And I'm going to agree with you. I'm saying also a 4.5.
Woo.
I thought for a second I was going to be outvoting you. So this is going to be a pretty good average.
That's a good average, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll figure out
it's
what
no
it is.
It's no dare to be stupid, but it's up there.
I mean, it's tough to be dare to be stupid.
It's the best Devo song ever made.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Even Devo has admitted
that.
It's fantastic.
It's no hardware store.
All right.
Yeah, well,
I mean, what can compete with hardware store? I mean,
hardware store I'd put up at a 6.
Yeah.
You rank it 11.
Yeah, the extra 600 minutes.
600 hammers.
Extra...
You know, I am curious through the process of your show, because like through the process of the songs that we've covered on our show so far, we're at the consensus that Hardware Store is probably the number one Weird Al song. Where if you guys were to aggregate through all your rankings that you've given to all of Weird Al songs, like at least of what you've covered so far, do you guys have a number one best Weird Al song ever?
Yeah.
Dare to Be Stupid, I think, is...
Dare to Be Stupid got 3.5s.
Ah.
Wow. We had a guest star that day. Oh, I don't have it written down, but we did White and Nerdy, didn't we? Yes.
Oh, yeah. We haven't covered White and Nerdy yet. I don't know how...
Yeah, White...
I don't have it written down, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But I don't think White and Nerdy even got perfect 5s.
I don't think so either. I don't remember.
And this is always one of those weird things because it's always sort of like in the moment. And then afterwards, you're like, why did I give it that? That's weird. So I think at the end of our season, at the end of the run, we'll have to go back to look where everything ended up and go, now we need to give that one a better score or something.
Yeah, we
just
messed
to make
up
it work.
On that one. What were we thinking that day?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm definitely the same way where I gave a song a bad ranking. And then like 2 weeks later, I'm like, why did I do that? This song's great.
I'm so sick of you.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to do this, but we actually had a request from a fan. What are our... Let's give our 3 original songs that we hope he plays in this concert series. Because she asked what we thought would be played during the concert
original
series.
Original songs.
Original. Well, I mean, the whole point is they're original. Yeah. Although one of mine is not technically, it will be a parody.
Okay.
So.
You, Charlie, since you seem to thought about it.
No, I didn't think about it more than that. So.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I think for me... One of mine on that list is one that I think is highly underrated, but I just love so much, Dog Eat Dog. I love that song and would love to hear
that.
Oh
my God, yes. Yes.
I mean, it's a little obvious, but probably Albuquerque. Let's see. I got to think about for the third one. Andrew, Dan, do you guys have what a Weird Al original that you want to see live?
I couldn't afford the ticket. I know he's never gonna do Hardware Store Live.
No,
I mean this is the Hardware Store Memorial list. Like everybody wants to put Hardware because hearing that live would be amazing and impressive.
Yeah. I feel like for me, I would imagine
everything you know is wrong is original, isn't it?
It's not a parody. It's a style parody.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go with Everything You Know Is Wrong. It's one of my favorite songs by him.
Mm-hmm. I mean that's a good one. I personally I think how I would wish he would start his show is it like the lights go dim, we hear like the crowd going like ah, and then we see like some smoke coming in on the off stage right and stage left, and then we just hear the beginning like sounds of creaking and like wolves howling, and then he starts playing Nature Trail to Hell.
That would be great.
Yes.
Oh, that would be awesome.
If that's how he starts my show, I don't care what else he does, or even if he just plays it, I'll be sold, because that is one of my top favorite songs of his of all time.
That's a good one.
But also, you know, it'd be fun to see him perform. What was it? Dare to Be Stupid would be fun.
I think doing the full version of Chicken Pot Pie would be great.
Yeah,
that's a parody.
Oh. Oh. But we never got to parody, but still, hear that the would be nice. Of it. We only heard the beginning.
But that's not one of the usuals. That's fine. I'm okay with that.
Oh man, can I go?
Yeah,
I really would like to hear Velvet Elvis.
Ooh, yeah,
nice.
I love that song. Generic Blues.
Yes.
Yes. And the other one I just had, I lost it. Dang it. I just had it a second ago.
I remember another one. Go ahead. If you can't remember.
Oh, Frank's 2000 Inch TV.
Ooh, Frank's 2000.
Those are the ones. Yes.
I think my third choice, just to interrupt real quick, would probably, just because I like the style of music, would probably be Your Horoscope for Today.
That's what I was just about to say.
That would be a really fun
That's
one.
What I was just about to say.
Good.
I would love to
have a good
see,
horn section.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, I think the three that I want to see that haven't been said yet, which is the contingency all of a sudden, that's good. Pancreas.
Yeah,
that'd be hard to do.
It would be hard, but it would be so awesome.
Oh, I hope so.
I mean, it would be too layered. I mean, it would be very difficult.
That'd be almost impossible.
You should do Pancreas and just get like different sections of the audience to do different when it does that part at the end. How amazing would that be?
That would be pretty amazing.
That would be awesome, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if I guess another one from that album, Close But No Cigar, because I love Cake. Nice. So that, and I think now I'm blanking on the name of the song and I'm so bummed. What is the one that he does redid as an Eric Clapton cover? Eat It. It's Eat It.
I think it's Eat It.
Yeah, it's Eat It.
Eat It.
Playing Eat It as
Eric
if
Eric Clapton cover of Eat It?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. He did an unplugged Eric Clapton types. Version of Eat It for a commercial on MTV back in the day.
And so there's only like 30 seconds of it, but then when he was on the air with a radio station at one point, he played four songs, and one of them is the Eric Clapton version of Eat It, and it's awesome. Great. I will send you the link to it. It's awesome.
I would
that's
like that
awesome.
Yeah,
I haven't
we said
heard
we
of
bet
that.
He's going to do that at least one of the tour.
Yeah,
the
and that's my cheat for this game. You know what I mean? Like that's the one that's technically a parody, but it's a version of it that and it's made. It's made for this because it was specifically written to be an unplugged song.
As long as he plays, we all have cell phones, so come on, let's get real. I think we'll be good.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. He always does.
Yep. Yeah, he always does. Yeah,
and Fun Zone would be really cool to hear.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you pretty much always start with that. So
I know, but like,
he always play it.
But they do
the
they?
Band does it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, you're right, you're right.
It's audio track.
It is the audio track. Yeah. You're right.
Oh, okay, so that was just a quick dilute. That's for our fan who emailed us that, and this is the only chance we have to stick it in real quick before the...
awesome. I'm glad we got to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
With all that being said...
this was fun.
Yeah, yeah. No, this was a blast having you guys on, and I think we're going to record a little bit more just talking about our general Weird Al fandom, but before we do that, if people like you guys, where can they find more of you, We're All Yankovics?
Even if they don't like us, you can find us on Twitter or Instagram, We're All Yankovics, or iTunes. Just type in We're All Yankovics and you can find us there.
Facebook. Join us on Facebook.
Yeah, join us on Facebook. We have a Facebook group where we talk about stuff, especially as the concerts start up. We're going to be talking about them. And we're hoping that people go to the concerts and get the playlists, or Weird Al does a playlist and puts them up online so we can talk about each concert, because it's supposed to be different. You know, totally. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I really hope that there's songs that he plays here that are going to be like concert only stuff that because he's got a bunch of those concert only songs.
Yeah.
That never got official recordings.
Weird Al, if you're hearing this, if you're hearing this and you still haven't played in Los Angeles, please have Emo Phillips sing Like a Surgeon. And have him do his like his surgeon bit from UHF, please. Please.
That'd be awesome.
Like
hunting
that would be
for the very first time.
Yeah. Exactly. I think that would be great.
Oh my gosh, that'd be awesome.
That would be great. But okay, cool. We'll definitely you know, I feel like we squashed the beef, you guys.
You know,
yeah.
You aren't that bad.
Sorry about those pigeons. They weren't even that good.
No.
Sorry.
Yeah. We'll buy you some new ones.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, I mean, they're pretty cheap, you know. It's just the moral of it, stealing our pigeons, you know, and and you actually stole a chicken too that we disguised as a pigeon.
That was the good one.
That was the really good one.
Okay,
yeah.
I like that one.
We liked that one.
See,
he looked fat.
And,
it was weird.
And that was little Timmy.
Well,
that
I mean,
was little Timmy.
We're sorry about that. You guys are all right too.
Aw.
And I just want to say real quick with that whole Facebook group, any of our listeners out there, especially if you're going to be going to any of those concerts, please join that group and add in your playlist as well. Like, see how many people, how much of this information we can get. Yeah.
So definitely, guys, join that Facebook group. Make sure that everything is prepared and ready for when Weird Al hits tour, which should be happening already,
February
actually.
28th. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. That's now.
Two days from now.
Depending on which one of us you're listening
concert
to. That's today.
Yeah.
Or 2 days from now.
Oh, speaking of today, Eat It actually won the Grammy today. This day in 1985.
Today?
Yeah.
Like, it took them like 30 years for them to finally be like, oh, you know what? We should go back to those 1985 Grammys and
retroactively give him the award.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just it was one of those things that I thought that this was really, really cool that it all coincided today, like a surgeon. It's cool.
Okay. Well, as part of the thing, we always like to talk to our guests about because our listeners haven't necessarily been with you for your 100 episodes. Talk to us about I guess when you first found Weird Al and why you love him so much to do enough to do a podcast about him.
Well, I can go ahead and say my first story with Weird Al.
I'm being held here against my will.
It's true.
I think my first discovery of Weird Al, well, I know I'd heard other songs, like I'd heard things like Baloney and Spam and Lasagna. And so there was I had a tacit familiarity with Weird Al, but what really started my love and obsession with it was one year at summer camp, because I was like 9 or 10 when Phantom Menace came out, and I heard somebody singing Saga Begins, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is a song about Star Wars. This is the coolest thing. I heard somebody singing it at summer camp, and I asked them about what it was, and like, I learned what a couple of the lyrics were. And then when I got home, I looked up the lyrics online and printed them off and was just like going through it all the time. However, I did not realize, because I was an uncultured child, that this was a parody of a popular song. And I also couldn't remember the tune. So for the longest time, I had those lyrics memorized, singing them in a totally different tune that I just made up, because I couldn't remember what the tune was.
Wow.
And didn't think to look up the song or the original. I mean, this was when internet took 2 hours to load a song.
Yeah, totally,
so I
totally
never looked up the actual song. But for a good year or two of my childhood, I was singing Saga Begins constantly in the wrong tune. And that's probably my start of Weird Al love.
And it, actually, that's a weird, interesting story. I think I remember hearing somewhere Weird Al told a story about how somebody once told him that they heard the Madonna version of American Pie. And they're like, why is somebody doing an unfunny cover of Weird Al's Star Wars song?
Nice.
Yeah.
So for me, I had a very interesting introduction to Weird Al. When I was in when I was going to school at a private Catholic school, I would think I was about to be in the sixth grade. There was this guy on my bus who was a few years older than me, and he was rocking out to his CD, his portable CD player, and I'm like, okay, cool. And he's like, Michael, come here, listen to this. So he gives me the headphones and he presses play, and it's the Angry White Boy Polka. And I start listening to it and I'm like, hey, I recognize some of these songs. What is this? Like, I straight up had like a Nightmare Before Christmas moment with freaking Weird Al. And I'm going through and I'm listening like as much as I can. Every single bus ride after that, I would like listen. And eventually, like, I borrowed the CD from him. And I like ripped the CD, and then I eventually that just spiraled out of control. All my love for Weird Al. I'm not quite sure if this was before or after, but Radio Disney put out CDs as well, for songs that were really hip at the time with the chillins, you know.
Oh yeah.
And So I didn't realize this, but I had A Saga Begins and Yoda on these two separate albums. And
oh, cool.
Eventually, when I put the pieces together, I'm like, oh, this is that polka guy. So I always knew Al as being the polka guy, not the parody guy. And then that just opened an entirely new world for me. And that's how I got introduced to Weird Al. And cool. I have...
What's this? There's white boys in my ears. What's this?
Exactly.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. For real, it's great. What about you, Andrew?
Me? Goodness, that's a great question.
Hasn't happened yet.
My sisters, you know, I mean, I'm the baby of the family, so they were already, like, listening to a bunch of, like, stuff already whenever I was trying to, you know, get old enough to actually listen to things. And they're like, here, we think that you'd probably like really like this. So I listened to the Weird Al food like tape and I listened to it constantly. I had my little tape recorder in my headphones, like, anytime that we would drive anywhere, that's what I'd be rocking out to. And then, as I've stated before on the podcast, like, I just knew that, like, the first concert that I wanted to go to was Weird Al, and that's where I ended up, because you know, it was just kind of like the first music that I'd really been introduced to. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Dan, do you have a good story?
The first time I was introduced to Weird Al, because for me, he was always an artist that was always around. I think my dad was the one who introduced me to him, because I think my dad was just so sick of just the normal Happy Birthday song. So I was like, here, listen to this other Happy Birthday song. Don't be sad.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Broccoli.
How old were you?
Old enough to read, as far as I remember.
Okay. That's a great thing for a young boy to listen to for his birthday.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. And can you tell our listeners where to find you?
Yes. So we are we just recently celebrated our 100th episode. So you've got more than 100 wonderful episodes of Weird Al nonsense to go back and listen to.
Enjoy that.
The Weird Alphabet. Find us on iTunes or wherever else fine podcasts are sold. We've got all kinds of social media nonsense, like a Twitter and a Facebook. But probably the biggest place to find everything, all of our links in one place, is PipeDreamPodcasts.com.
Yes, and for those who...
Awesome.
For those who really want the specifics, for Instagram and Twitter, it's Weird Al Pod, and for Facebook, it's Weird Al Podcast. No, Weird Alphabet Podcast, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Twitter and Instagram are both Weird Al Pod.
Right, Dan? Yep. Yeah. I'm just double checking. I'm pretty sure Dan's the one
it's the same one as Twitter.
Yes.
What episode would you suggest people listen to?
The first one. Ooh. What's the good one? The best one to dive into.
Not the first one.
Not the first one, even though that sets up pretty much the entirety of the show moving forward.
Well, I think there's a couple early on that I feel like would be good to start with. Our episode on Albuquerque is pretty classic. Our episode of Christmas at Ground Zero probably established the most inside jokes that we keep referencing over and over and over again. But more recently, our 100th episode, Jurassic Park, I'm really proud of, and that one turned out really great.
For me, I would definitely say if you want one that really dives into a new side of a story that has yet to be like fully documented, the I Lost on Jeopardy episode with Adam Nadiff and his boss, who actually ended up being a huge part and an untold story of the making of the music video and the song.
I've actually made a list of this because it was someone who was asking me. It was Liz when she came onto the show.
Oh, yeah.
She was asking me what episodes to listen to because, like, listening to 100 episodes would be exhausting. So I was like, yeah, Jerry Springer was one of them. I Lost on Jeopardy. Hardware Store All-Star. Eat It, CNR, and Christmas at Ground Zero.
CNR was another great episode.
Yeah, such a good one.
Also, I can listen to that one. We've already done CNR.
Yeah,
so that's a good episode.
They have a lot of information on that one.
Oh,
yeah.
Also, our interview. When we talk about It's All About the Pentiums, our friend Doug on that one, that was a blast.
Just listen to all 100 episodes.
Yeah. You know what? Don't listen to Dan when he says that it's exhausting.
Good to know.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for joining us. I think that's the end of our episode.
That's the end of our episode, so I'm going to say bye-bye.
Bye. Ooh, baby.